May of 69 in Newfoundland. Idle, curious, living a hand-to-mouth existence during extended investigations at Memorial University, sharing a small three-bedroom apartment on the waterfront with seven other people, I was one of the old-town hippies. Little did I know what the next 8 months held in store for me. The occupation of the weight room at the university had been going well. My leadership as the Secretary General of the Provisional Wing of the Viet Minh was unquestioned, but we needed cash. So a trade mission to Montreal was in order. With the financial backing of several hundred denizens of the Minh Students' Union Building, I flew first class to the City of Lights, Canada style, and booked in to the Queen Elizabeth, room 1741, ready for business. Donning the tie-dye in preparation of difficult cash negotiations, I left my suite. And whom did I see in the hallway, entering the room directly across from me? Japanese performance artist Yoko Ono and her boyfriend at the time, John Lennon. When I returned to the hotel later that evening, the bed-in had begun. And what a time. I knocked on the door of 1742. It opened under my knuckles. The happening was, well, in full swing. And what a happening it was. I was welcomed, introduced myself, sat next to Allen Ginsberg, and started twisting up numbers. Before the week was out, I'd met Petula Clark, Timothy Leary, Tom and Dick Smothers, and I'd made connections in England for music, New York for acid, and California for the television industry. Connections that would alter my entire life. By the time it had all ended and we'd recorded Give Peace a Chance in that storied bedroom, that's me on spoons in the left channel, I had almost run out of the front money from the dime bag dopeys of St. John's. A couple of days later, I used what funds were left to purchase a ticket on Transworld Airways and followed John and Yoko to London, to a hot-wired jam session with the Rolling Stones, a late-evening splash with Brian Jones at his place, and, well, that's another story. I didn't see John or Yoko for a couple of years after that, but we exchanged seasonal messages every year at Yule, and still, when Christmas rolls around, I think of them.